Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And it's a long way to the top by AC/DC. Welcome to the Savage Nation. They were singing about being a rock and roll star. They're saying it's harder than it looks and it's a long way to the top. But let me tell you something. It applies to every profession and every field. Welcome to the program. Which is why the music has lasting value. Today I want to talk about Ted Cruz and disillusionment. We're all enchanted by Ted Cruz and I hope he wins. And if he does win, what will happen after a year is we'll be disillusioned with Ted Cruz. We'll be disenchanted with Ted Cruz. Just as we're disenchanted with virtually everything else in America, we'll be disillusioned and disenchanted. All presidents go through this phase. They give us this idealistic image. We gravitate to them like iron filings to a magnet. And then eventually they lose their magnetism and the iron filings called the population drops off the magnet. This is true for all presidents, but some more so than others. And I would be remiss not to say that Obama is the most disillusioning president in modern history. Obviously, for obvious reasons, because not only did he lie as to who he was, but he lied about what he would do. And not only is he not a liberal, he's far from being a liberal. He doesn't believe in liberalism. He believes in a form of neo-fascism. But I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to talk about this disillusionment, Ted Cruz, the fact that Starbucks has dropped their idiotic campaign on race. Unbelievable. Hillary Clinton's proposal for fun camps hasn't been heard from since. I know they had fun camps in Nazi Germany and they had fun cruises in the Soviet Union for the workers. I guess that's what she had in mind. It's you know, it shows you she's not really thinking. In the middle of ISIS, on their blitzkrieg, this is what she's talking about. This is what she comes up with, fun camps for U.S. adults. Did you miss that on Friday? Were you busy doing something else other than listening to Michael Savage? Am I the only one who found this? Listen to clip number four. This is the would-be president because she's a woman.
I have gotten older. I have decided we really need camps for adults. None of the serious stuff, none of the, you know, life challenge stuff, more fun. I think we have a huge fun deficit in America.
So this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And it shows you how out of touch she is. I don't know who she got this from, her daughter maybe. Mom, you know, you're too serious. You really look serious during that hearing. They all knew you were lying. They could look right through you, Mom. You got to cover this up, this whole Emailgate thing. Come up with something fun. I can't talk about fun. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And that's what they came with, fun camps. And this is the best you can come with, a fun deficit. Can you believe this? So Starbucks dropped their controversial race together because nobody could believe that the CEO is this dumb. And so they put out a press release saying Starbucks will no longer write race together on customers' cups. Starting Sunday, ending as planned, a visible well, you get the picture. I don't have to read it to you. But the moron who came up with it, Howard Schultz, wrote a long letter. Dear partners, don't you love that they call workers, minimum wage workers now corporate world partners? Don't you love that, Robert? Everyone's a partner. The CEO makes $43 million and they make $8 an hour. Hey, partner, how you doing down there? So the fearless leader of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, writes a letter to, I can't even read this stuff. Let's throw it away. I can't. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm disillusioned with radio and politics, Robert. I think that's what's going on. I'm going through not a midlife crisis. I hate politics. I hate everyone in politics. A pox upon all of them. I have no desire to talk about Ted Cruz and I won't do it. Leave it to the others, you know. The cheerleaders. I'll vote for him. Yes, I know. Anyone but Obama, I get it. Anyone but Hillary, I get it. Anyone but a socialist, I get it. Okay, I got it. That's a year and a half from now. Or more. I can't wait to talk about it now? I'm going to start now like a lunatic with Ted Cruz? Why? Why? So I'm not going to. I'm not going to do what everyone else. Oh, the great white hope. There he is. Did you see this? This humorous. Oh, I thought of this. The Starbucks campaigns that they could be running instead of race together on every Star Cup. They could do a global warming initiative where they can spill coffee on their hand and scream and say, "Oh, hot coffee's hot." Everybody in the coffee house, we're going to talk about global warming. Or you could have animals together, you know, hashtag animals together. And then bring your pets into Starbucks and get bitten by an animal or get feline leukemia. You know, stuff like that. How about neutral together? Hashtag neutral together. Where everyone in Starbucks speaks to each other without any pronouns that could offend someone. Or otherwise take for granted someone's gender preference. So you wouldn't say Mr. or Ms. You say, hey, you know, you'd be a contemporary person. You wouldn't say sir or madam or Mr. or Mrs. You'd say, hey. Unattractive together. Hashtag ugly together. Have a conversation with someone so ugly that you normally wouldn't talk to them. Letting them know that their ugliness is acceptable to you. That wouldn't be a bad one. Or have a conversation. Hashtag homeless together in Starbucks and have a conversation with a homeless person. Make certain, though, that you wear a gauze mask so you don't get tuberculosis. You get the picture. How about a conversation, hashtag income together? Have a conversation in Starbucks about income inequality and have a conversation about having wealth redistributed to the poor around the world. I was looking at a book called Obama for Dummies. And it starts like this. Hey, Bob, did you hear about the Obama administration scandal? Jim, you mean the Mexican gun running? Bob, no, the other one. Jim, you mean the SEAL Team 6? Bob, no, the other one. You mean the State Department lying about Benghazi? No, the other one. You mean voter fraud? No, the other one. You mean the military not getting their votes counted? No, the other scandal. Jim, you mean the NSA monitoring our phone calls, emails, and everything else? Bob says, no, the other one. You mean the use of drones in our own country without the benefit of the law? No, 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 the other Obama scandal, Jim. Oh, you mean giving 123 Technologies $300 million and right after it declared bankruptcy it was sold to the Chinese? No, the other one. You mean the president arming the Muslim Brotherhood? No, the other scandal. Oh, you mean the IRS targeting conservatives? No, the other scandal. Oh, you mean the DOJ spying on the press? Oh, no, the other scandal. Jim says, you mean Sebelius shaking down health insurance executives? No, the other scandal. Jim, you mean giving Solyndra $500 million and 3 months later they declared bankruptcy and then the Chinese bought it for next to nothing? No, the other scandal. You mean the NSA monitoring our phone calls, emails, and everything else? No, the other scandal. You mean the president ordering the release of nearly 10,000 illegal immigrants from jails and prisons and falsely blaming the sequester? No, the other scandal. You mean the president's threat to impose gun control by executive order in order to bypass Congress? No, the other scandal. You mean the 2012 vote where 115% of all registered voters in some counties voted 100% for Obama? No, the other scandal. You mean the president's unconstitutional appointments in an attempt to circumvent the Senate's advise and consent role? No, the other one. Oh, you mean the State Department interfering with an inspector general investigation on departmental sexual misconduct? No, says Bob, the other one. You mean Clinton, the IRS, Clapper and Holder all lying to Congress? No, says Bob, the other scandal. Jim says, oh, I give up. Oh, wait, I think I got it. You mean that 65 million low-information voters who don't pay taxes and get free stuff from taxpayers and stuck us again with the most pandering, corrupt administration in American history? Bob says, that's the one. Now, I'm going to ask you, we made it, this is pretty good, the Obama for Dummies list. What would you add? Which scandal did he miss? Now, I want to talk about a couple other things while you're calling 855-400-7282. We'll do the news later. I'm not ready for it. We got plenty of news. It's a long way to the top, and I didn't get here yesterday, nor was I born yesterday. Nor do I actually think that you want me to talk about the 2016 race today. I am not that out of touch with reality to think that the average person walking in the streets or driving in a car or sitting in a home or listening in a prison cell gives a rat's behind about who's going to run in 2016. Most people actually tune in on Labor Day of the year of an election to determine who to vote for. And by my scientific analysis, Whoever has more hair wins, which means, unfortunately, Hillary may win because she has more hair. And people are that stupid. Don't think we're much above Uruguay. I don't think we're much above Uruguay in intelligence, maybe below it, as a matter of fact. But I want to talk instead about some unserious things by inviting you to call me at 855-400-7282 on an unprotected talk day, because it's Monday. And if it's Monday, we must be in the Savage Nation. And tomorrow is my 21st anniversary on the radio, the 24th of March, tomorrow. I will have been on the radio for 21 long years. And frankly, I'm going to have a special show with some highlights of the years, and you're going to call in with your memories and whatever. And then I'm going to ask you and myself if there's any point in my continuing much longer. I don't mean I'm going to quit tomorrow in some surprise announcement. It's not the way I work. But really, what has really happened in the last 21 years? Have the liberals become more aware of the damage they're doing? No, they've gotten even worse. Have the Republicans become less of a sellout party? No, they've gotten even worse. So let me ask you something. Why then should I spend my every waking minute thinking about politics when there are so many other things on the planet? There's things I do. I'll give you an example. Saturday, I went into San Francisco, hung out in my apartment, looked at the view. I mean, just took pictures, frankly. And it was sunny during the day, and then the fog came in late in the afternoon. A huge cruise ship, about 15 stories high, was leaving in the fogs of San Francisco, going out around Alcatraz. It was really an amazing picture. That's something to do, isn't it? Take pictures and look at the beauty of nature and just the changing scenery of life. And I paint a little bit now, some bad pictures, but I do paint. And then on Saturday night, I went up to North Beach to my new Italian restaurant friend. Well, he's not new, he's old. Giovanni owns Pinocchio. I had such a good time. I'm not saying it because I had a free drink. Believe me, I'm way past needing a free drink. I don't wear an Aloha shirt. I prefer paying for my food, to be honest with you. My friend Giovanni sings Italian songs. And then when I have a few drinks, I start to sing along with him. I got to tell you, Teddy was with me. Teddy sat on the bar. I mean, not sat on the bar. He sat in a stool like a regular patron. His hindquarters were on the stool, and his paws were on the marble countertop, because as I was eating the Italian bread and having a vodka, he wanted to join in the fun. I can't give him a drink, so he loved the bread. And the Italian bread was so good that when I gave it to him with a little olive oil, he rejected it. He only wanted the plain bread, which is unusual for him. Unbelievable. So we sang, and we had a good time, and Giovanni took some pictures of me on the bar, which I liked. And Sunday night, I mean, there's other things in life, as I'm trying to say to you. Sunday comes, long day Sunday, right? Long, empty day. I love empty days. In fact, I like a depressing day more than I like a happy day. Because I fill in depressing, long, empty, lonely days with creativity. You understand? I'm working on new books, dabbling in some artwork. That's what you do with a long, lonely day. Not every minute has to be filled. But you know what Lin Yutang wrote in The Importance of Living, which I learned when I was 18 years old? Let's say you have an apartment. No one has extra rooms anymore, by and less, unless you're rich or your children left you and you have an empty room. Lin Yutang wrote that the empty room in the house is the most important room, and he suggested keeping one room in the house empty with nothing in it. And that's a symbol of what we need to do with our own days and our own mind. We need emptiness in order to fill it. Otherwise, we don't know what we're doing. We're just running, you know, helter-skelter. So Sunday night on that empty day, my friend Doc, the musician, doctor, paratrooper, in five wars, my good friend, musician, he said, "Hey, Mike, there's some Cajun music tonight." I said, "Really?" I love Cajun music, and I've never heard it live. But whenever you go to a movie and it's about New Orleans or Louisiana and there's a murder scene and, you know, someone's being thrown into a swamp, there's always Cajun music in the background. And then a girl without, you know, like, it's always like Cajun music, and there's like the accordion in it with the four stops in it. I went to see it last night. I tell you, these guys are terrific. I stayed one set. I don't have the patience for longer. It was filled with the antithesis of me politically, the people. But they didn't know who I was, and I didn't know who they were. And I just enjoyed the music, and so did they. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Yep, that's where the world's going. That's where the whole nation's been going a long time now. I don't know who started the road, but that's what we're on. So the question is, since we're on that road, what do we do about it? That's what it really comes down to. And everyone copes with this disappointment with not only the political world, but with the world in general. We take a look at what's going on in the world. They elect a peacenik who promises the end of war, promises God knows what. And now we have the Nazi movement back, this time speaking Arabic, wearing headscarves. More virulent than Islam, than Hitler, much more virulent than Hitler in their fanaticism and their belief in a single book. The only thing that they lack is an air force and a navy. If they had an air force and navy, they would have taken over the world by now because of their ability to, their willingness to die for their insane cause. Now, we have the ability to wipe them off the planet right now and teach them a lesson they'll never forget, kick them back to the Stone Age they live in, and stop the next group of psychotics here in America from acting out like them. But apparently the leader, our all-powerful leader, is at a science fair today with children. I don't know what he knows about science. I know there's 15 inches of snow in the Midwest. It's that darn old global warming acting up again. Yeah, 15 inches of snow in the Midwest. It's that darn global warming acting up in March again. But anyway, I want to talk about disillusionment with regard to love.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
By hook or by crook, we're going to make sure that when I leave this office, that the country's more prosperous, more people have opportunity,
all right, we got
kids
it.
Have by a better education.
Crook. Okay, yes, we got it. By hook and by crook, by being crooked and by hooking people into your illusions. You're quite a magician, Mr. Obama. Nevertheless, I want to talk about disillusionment or disenchantment. I was looking up the word disillusion because many people are disillusioned not only with him, and I mean liberals who thought he was going to make a difference. Little did they know he turned into be such a creep, such an anti-American, anti-freedom. I mean, it's unbelievable. You think liberals like it? Real liberals don't. The only people who like what he's doing are the neo-fascists disguised as liberals. Liberals don't like him because they know he's not a liberal. But let's put that aside for a minute. Let's not deal with the rhetoric of liberalism. By the way, I was going to talk with you about liberalism and how it made sense at a time in America. For example, after World War II, when we conquered the world, after defeating Superman, when every man defeated Superman, the country was going through this great prosperity. Everyone had a job who wanted one, etc. Liberalism was something we could afford. And so the Marshall Plan was initiated where we helped everybody, and foreign aid was suddenly thrown around the world for Pax Americana. And liberalism grew. It flourished because people felt good about America and we were rich. And we felt benevolent. But we're not that anymore. Liberalism doesn't make sense for the time we're living in right now. And I don't have to list why. I mean, most of you can follow me without me having to spell out why. But bring us back to today, Michael, which is the disillusionment, for example, of the announcement that Ted Cruz, and again, I'll vote for Ted Cruz or any Republican over any Democrat. I don't want the road to hell that the Democrats have taken us on. I'd like a detour, if you don't mind. I'm not ready to go over the cliff with them. But you know that you're going to be disillusioned in Ted Cruz. He's going to have to compromise once he becomes president, as they all do. And then you're going to start to become disillusioned and disenchanted. And it brings me to the whole issue of what does disillusion mean? Well, there's a lot of meanings to it. And I read one meaning of the word disillusion means open the eyes of, which is amazing. It means that when you're in an illusion about a politician or a lover, you're living in a dream world. That's what the illusion is. You're living in your own dream. And then slowly but surely, whether it's in marriage or relationships, friendships even, your eyes become opened and you see the person for who they are, and then that's when the relationship actually begins. But most of us don't get to that point. We live in the illusion. It blows up.
and we never get past the illusion. A real relationship begins after the illusion disappears. That's the hard part. But if you look at the origin of the word illusion, which I did in my great Skeets, I love Skeet, Etymological Dictionary of the English Language, Skeet. It's not to make you think I'm so smart. You can buy the book yourself. I've had it in my library for many a year, 1983, first impression, 1882. I carry around like a little Bible. It's the origin of words, the Etymological Dictionary of Words. English is a very complex language. Don't assume it's so easy. So you cannot find the word disillusion in it. You can first find the word illusion, which comes from the Latin illusionum, which means elude, I-L-L-U-D-E. So you have to go, it says, see, elude above. So you go to elude above. We're not talking about pornography. Elude means to deceive. Elude, to deceive. So illusion comes from deceiving. So listen to this. So disillusionment means you no longer deceive. It's phenomenal. If you actually study words, it's one of the most interesting things to do. It's like studying a mystery. Words are mysterious, aren't they? Think about that. Illusion, see elude above. Elude means to deceive. So disillusion means you're not deceived anymore, to no longer be deceived, right? It's interesting. It's very fascinating. So then I find a quote from a writer named Naomi Wolf where she writes, quote, "The gap is closed. The lover embraces only his own disillusion." I said, oh, wow. So that brings us back to all of us, political or otherwise. We're all living in a state of illusion, aren't we? Let's look at the fanatics called ISIS. Their illusion that it'd be a perfect world if all the Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus were dead, or they were walking in the dust and kissing their behinds. They have the illusion that then there'd be peace on earth. And yet they kill each other right now. Sunni kills Shia, Shia kills Sunni. The whole religion is what the problem is. And if you think I'm the only one saying it, you're wrong. An article came out from the bravest woman on the planet. I couldn't believe this woman. She's a young Muslim woman who wrote an incredible article. Her name is Ayan Hirsi. And she said, in Islam, they are all rotten apples. She's a converted, she left Islam, and she calls for religion to be reformed, just as the way there was a Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. And she said, unless Islam is rejected, the world is going to go you know where. And she discusses it. It's amazing. And she said, there's no such thing as a moderate Muslim. She was a Muslim. She said, there is no such thing as a moderate Muslim, is what she said. She said, not me. And she said that they have to have a reformation. Do we have her soundbite? We do. Robert, just play her for a minute. She's the bravest woman on the planet.
Islam unreformed today is not a religion of peace. It's groups like ISIS, the Taliban, etc. But there's a huge group of Muslims, I think they're the largest number, who I call them Mecca Muslims, who are peace-loving and practice only the peaceful parts of their religion. And then there are those who want to reform the religion, the reformists or the heretics. And it's extremely important today for the Medina Muslims to lose. We want the dissidents to convince the Mecca Muslims, that large contingent of people, to reform their religion from within.
The bravest woman on earth, activist Ayan Hirsi, and she said there was a time, it was in the New York Post today, and I'm talking about disillusionment, and we lead to her. And she says there was a time when author and activist Ayan Hirsi Ali believed it all. That according to Islam, the infidel should die, that the Quran is infallible, that those who violated Sharia law deserve to be stoned to death or beheaded, as they were each Friday in a public gathering place she and her brother called Chop Chop Square. Today she is that rare thing, a public intellectual who, despite death threats and charges of bigotry, calls for an end to Islam, not just as the faithful know it, but as we in the West think we know it. Here's what she says. The assumption is that in Islam there are a few rotten apples, not the entire basket. She said, no, I'm saying it's the entire basket. And she wrote a book called Heretic. And she wants a complete reformation of Islam, akin to the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. You can read it yourself. She's phenomenally brave. And so I'm talking today about disillusionment in our own lives, with ourselves, with others, with political figures. And here's a woman disillusioned with Islam, right? A whole religion. She's, the shroud has come off the myth, the illusion that the world would be a perfect place if everyone simply bowed down to Mecca six times a day and read from a single holy book. She says it has to be, you know, revamped, revised. And so that's why I want to talk about illusion and disillusion. We in America are all disillusioned with the political process. We see that there is no democracy or a semblance of it. We see that our republic has failed. We see that the republican form of government that was created by the founding fathers has failed us. Well, we failed it, but it's no more. We see that the idiot in the White House has abused the very office of the presidency, as has the first lady. They abuse it on a daily basis. They get away with it on a daily basis. Say, no, we know the system failed us. We ask, how could a goofball like him get away with this? How could he abuse the taxpayer like this? How could she fly around the world like this and nobody stops them? The system has failed us. So we realize that the illusion that we lived in a society where there's checks and balances has failed us. That's what I mean by disillusionment. And so many of us try to hang on to an illusion. I hang on to an illusion. My theme is America's borders, language, and culture. That's my illusion. My illusion is that if we close the borders, secured the borders, made English only the language of the land, and reaffirmed our cultural values, we'd have a safer, better America. I know that I'm right. I'm positive that I'm right. But it's still an illusion. It's an illusion for one reason, not because I'm wrong in my supposition that it would make for a better, safer America. It's in my supposition that this could ever happen again. Given the flooding of America with illegal aliens, given the white men who have destroyed America with multiculturalism in order to rule over a dumb votership for the rest of the century, a dumb, ignoramus votership for the rest of the century. That is how demonic the Democrats are. That they think by bringing in tens of millions of idiots who can't even read or write in their own native language, they can only speak it at best in an illiterate manner, that somehow it's going to be a better world. No, that's not what they did it for. They did it for the votes and also to be able to control and manipulate the population and rob more money so they can build a train to nowhere in California and build 10 trains to nowhere and rob the public treasury and call themselves liberals. Or they can build 1,000 Solyndra plants and steal $500 million a day. And the idiots who come in here from countries where they don't even speak, read or write Spanish won't even know what they're doing as long as they throw them a bone. So my illusion is to clean up the mess. You get it? I have many illusions. I'd like to see all class action lawyers thrown into prison and all of the money that they've stolen taken back from them. And their children's money taken from them. To me, they're no different than the biggest thieves ever to have walked the planet. Every time I look at the television, there's an ad for mesothelioma. Who are the gangsters in this business? How much can they rob from corporations? Where do you think this money comes from? Where do these gangster lawyers, how do they ply their evil trade? How? Because they own the politicians. One politician came along and merely tried to stop some of the tort actions in this country. His name was George Bush. They ruined him. They ran him out of office. And what did we get next? Well, we got a lawyer, the most corrupt president in American history. American Trial Lawyers Association stamped him 100% pure. And now you understand why they're running wild in the streets, robbing and stealing like you've never seen in your life. I have a friend, Larry, who's going to be at my birthday party Sunday night at an undisclosed location. And Larry's a lawyer. He's the only lawyer, other than my lawyer, that I like. Larry has spent his entire life fighting class action lawyers. He's a lawyer from Brooklyn, went to a first-rate law school. Instead of making a living by stealing money as a lawyer, he fights lawyers trying to rein in their class action fees. And he's going to be arguing before the Supreme Court in a very short period of time. The California Supreme Court has agreed to hear his case. So, you know, people will spend their whole life with an illusion, going back to my main theme, an illusion. And sometimes, very rarely, do they win. Sometimes they win. But I'm going to go back to the bigger picture of disillusionment, not only with the political process. I'd rather be a little more, you know, philosophical about it. I almost got sidetracked by bringing the disillusionment topic to the political realm, but I really could talk about it in another way. I'd like you to call the show at 855-407-2822 to tell me what your biggest disillusionment in life was. Many of you think that
if you work 20 or 30 years, you're going to retire, you're going to have a pension, and you're going to live happily ever after. How's that worked out for you? You mean sitting around on a beach is what you've wanted to do? That's the sum total of millions of years of evolution? I don't understand it. Going on a cruise, getting drunk, going to France. What is this? Where did this illusion come from of being retired on a pension? Where is that? How does that lead to happiness? Has it led to happiness? Every TV ad says it will. They're selling you the illusion that if you go on that cruise, you will be happy. Maybe you will be. They're selling you the illusion that if you buy that country home, oh my God, then you're really going to be happy. You're not going to have yourself with you anymore. You're going to just have this idyllic, bucolic country house. To do what in? I don't understand it. I don't know what you're going to do there. What, collect rocks? I don't know. What would anyone do up there? But people dream that they're going to have this, and they look forward to it. And maybe they're smarter than me in the sense that they know how to live with the illusion that they're happy. Do you understand what I'm saying, Robert? Maybe they're smarter than me, and they can fool themselves into thinking they're happy. They say, well, look at this. I worked all my life. I'm now retired. I have the country home. I have the tractor, whatever. I have a car, this, that, 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 too, and I'm happy. And they can tell themselves they're happy. I'm a cynic. I've been cynical since I'm 6 years old. And so, therefore, for me, I lived in disillusionment my whole life. There's nothing new for me in terms of disillusionment. I never had an illusion about the Republican Party. Maybe some in the political world do or did. I never did. I never had an illusion about politicians in general. I just never thought that we'd get an actual gangster criminal regime and who would get away with it over and over again. If Al Capone took over the country, he couldn't have gotten away with more thievery and chicanery than has been going on in the last 6 years. It would be impossible. But the difference is Al Capone had a syllable at the end of his name, and he spoke in a heavy accent, and he wasn't a silk smooth salesman. If Capone had only gone to the school of rhetoricians, oh my God, wow, could he have done well. I'll be right back to continue the dialogue on disillusionment on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Donnez plus clair le mot de la tribu. Give more clarity to the words of the tribe. We're the tribe. And our poets, our artists, our painters, our talk show hosts, if they're good, give more clarity to the words of the tribe. That's our job. And if we don't do that, well, what's the point of listening to us? You sit around the campfire and you want the poet to tell you stories about what's going on out there. What's going on in that void? What's beyond, what's going on outside what we can see? We all know what's going on inside what we can see. We don't need them for that. That's survival. But the artist is supposed to see through that wormhole or through the hole in the wall of confusion, right? And see beyond it. So I'm talking about your greatest confusion and disillusionment. Actually, your greatest disillusionment. By the way, in the next hour, I have so much more to say on this subject. You know, in the next hour, Donald Trump at the bottom of the hour. It's a big deal to me. I hope it is to you. But I want to talk about illusion. Your illusion is you're sick, and if you take the chemo, you'll get better. That's real. You're not disillusioned when you cure cancer. So survival, you see what I mean?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number two of The Savage Nation. Thank you very much. This is a great song, Journey, Separate Ways, 1983. And I'm talking about disillusionment today on the Savage Nation for a number of reasons. And I see Ted Cruz, brilliant guy. And if he wins, you're going to be disillusioned with him within a very short period of time. Not because of the liberals, but because of the system itself. And that's it, period. That doesn't mean we shouldn't elect them when we have the criminal gangster regime in power that needs to be exposed for what they're doing. I get it. But the world's not going to be a much better place. It'll be a slightly better place. Your life's not going to change very much one way or the other. And so when I say disillusionment and I ask you to call the show and tell me what your greatest disillusionment is, and I explain to you what the etymology of the word is, it's very interesting what disillusion means. Illusion means to live in an illusion, elude, to be deceived. So disillusion means that you're no longer deceived. You're seeing things as they are. And what are the synonyms for disillusionment? Adversity, defeat, discontent, disenchantment, dissatisfaction, failure, frustration, regret, setback, bafflement, despondency, discouragement, disgruntlement, disillusion, distress, mortification, adverse fate, lack of success, non-success, the knocks, unfulfillment. Those are the opposites, right? Those are the synonyms for disillusionment. And what are the antonyms for disillusionment? What's the opposite of disillusionment? Achievement, aid, attaining, blessing, contentedness, happiness, pleasure, satisfaction, success, triumph, win, boost, comfort, delight, euphoria, miracle, relief, wonder. So you have an illusion, you step into the illusion, you have euphoria, and eventually the euphoria leaves you. The deceit that you were living in, your own deceit, is not the other person, for example, whether it be a politician or a relationship. It's not the other person who was deceiving you. It's you deceiving yourself. I guess I have to become a guru to do this. I have to maybe leave radio or just do the same two together. Maybe I'll do radio and then on the side set up some kind of institute. I would like to talk about disillusionment right now for 3 to 4 hours without interruption, without questions, without calls, without any interruption. I would like to do a run on disillusionment on the show, but I can't. I'm trapped by stop sets. I'm trapped by the system in which I operate. I need more time to develop an idea. So maybe that's where I'm going to go. Set up small seminars, as in my dream when I had the white owl dream. The seminar dream came up in that night. I don't know what happened to me that night. The white owl, the black lady in the van, the seminar night. How did this happen? I haven't had a dream like that since. Well, let me talk about disillusionment for another minute. I remember when I was 18 and searching for myself, and I'm always searching for something, by the way. My nature is that of a searcher. I remember when I was 18 and looking for this and that and whatever, going through the sufferings of young Werther. I didn't know what was what, didn't know up from down, truthfully. And I remember running over a rabbit by accident on a highway in the Catskill Mountains and killing it. I got out and looked at the squashed guts hanging out and the guts coming out of its mouth, right? You've seen that. And I wrote down in my journal, I said, tonight I ran over and killed a rabbit. This is reality. So what I'm trying to say to you is, of course there is reality. Do you remember the famous story I told you about Einstein and the cynic comes up to him and he says, Herr Einstein, he lets him see him, you know, and he comes in his office and he says, Herr Einstein, it's all an illusion. It's all an illusion. So as the story goes, Einstein gets up from the chair and smacks the visitor in the face. And he says, oh, what'd you do that for? He says, was that an illusion? So in other words, there's a reality separate from illusion, and we all know what it is, which is why we like contact sports. That's real. Why do you think we like that? Why do you think we like men of action? Why do we love our soldiers? Why do we love our military men? Why do we love our men of action, the cops who can take down a criminal? Because they're men of action. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's real. Here's something else I want to tell you about. Over the weekend, I saw a story that was beyond belief. A religious Jewish man with 7 children follows the letter of the law, the Jewish law. Every letter, every law, all 313 commandments, the man follows all the commandments. Super Orthodox religious, obviously a good man. Well, religious Jews believe that on Saturday you're not supposed to light a fire, meaning turn a stove on or anything like that. So he leaves a hot plate on in his kitchen. The hot plate causes a fire, and all 7 children die in a house fire. The wife has to jump out of the window on fire, out of the tenement. And the eldest daughter jumps out of the window, and 7 children die. And I say to yourself, holy God, I mean, does it get any worse than this? How could any man survive
such a horror of seven innocent children being burnt to death because he was following the religious laws. Think about what I just said to you. Think about how crazy this story really is. Seven of his children burnt to death in a fire. His illusion was that if he followed all the religious laws to the T, God would protect him and his family and make him prosperous. Why do people follow God's laws? You think that it's out, you think they do it because they just want to worship God? Most people who are very religious think God's going to look over them if they follow the laws. You understand that? I don't think you understand that. It's very self-serving, incidentally. It's the reverse of what worship is supposed to be. Worship is supposed to be done without any regard to gain. But that's impossible to tell a human being. So I'm not criticizing this poor man. I'm empathizing with him, and I'm saying I can't understand how anyone could take that pain, number one. No one should ever experience that, ever. But I'm telling you a story about illusion. His illusion was that if he was religious to the T, and if he followed all 313 or whatever the number is of the Jewish commandments, down to the last shuckle, and bending and genuflection in the right way in the synagogue, and the wearing of the tennis sneakers on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, and everything perfect, he's going to be protected, and he's going to lead a good, healthy life. And here he has seven children dead because he didn't want to light a fire on the Sabbath. He left the hot plate on. The hot plate fried, I don't know what, a tablecloth, and set the apartment on fire. They're dead. Now, I ask myself, a thousand questions come into my mind. I knew the story of Jews who had been religious before Hitler threw the Jews into the ovens in Germany, in Poland. And they came out, those who survived, many of them, and threw their religious books in the garbage. They said, how can you believe in a God that would permit this to happen? I can't argue with them. That's your decision. I've heard that. I've had people call the show way back when over that topic. So illusion, disillusion. So why am I talking about this? Well, I'm asking you, here's Ted Cruz. I hope he wins. He's intelligent. He's got the right politics. And we have a disaster on our hands with the Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine. I get it. But I'm not illusion. I'm not going to walk around with an illusion now for 2 years. Oh, there he is, the great white hope. Oh, he's going to save us from the hordes of illegal aliens. He's going to take care of those Islamic bums. He's going to wipe them off the planet. He's going to lower taxes to zero. He's going to expose the global warming fraud and put him in jail, all of them. He's going to reverse the melting of the glaciers or make the glaciers grow or something. It's 15 inches of snow now in the Middle West, and already they're blaming it on global warming. They have it already pre-planned. Plug it in. Whatever happens, they got the plug-in. The plug-in line. It's because the earth tilted and it didn't have an answer. The frauds in the global business, the global warming. And then there's the schmuck, Jerry Brown. This guy, you know, I used to like Jerry Brown. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. I don't know who's advising this guy. It just shows you what a bigoted man he is. You got to hear this clip from Moonbeam in clip number 24 that you're not going to believe. Listen to this.
What he said is absolutely false. And that man betokens such a level of ignorance and a direct falsification of the existing scientific data. It's shocking, and I think that man has rendered himself absolutely unfit to be running for office.
This is the bigot Jerry Brown, a fanatic, saying that Ted Cruz is unfit for office because he doesn't buy the garbage about global warming. Now, you understand how bigoted that statement is from Jerry Brown? He didn't say, I disagree with him. He didn't say that I'd like to see the evidence. He didn't say, maybe we're wrong, let's look at it together. No, he said, you're a heretic. Ted Cruz is a heretic. He doesn't believe in the shibboleths of liberalism. Therefore, he's unfit for office. That's what this bigot in California just said. It's beyond me how you cannot see this as an educated person. I'm trying to show you. I mean, you have an illusion about Jerry Brown? He's a liberal? That's not the mouth of a liberal. That's not liberalism speaking. That's bigotry speaking. And it's stupidity at the same time. So let's go to your calls now. I haven't taken one call yet today. I have Donald Trump coming up at the bottom of the hour. The minute I come back, I'll take your calls on disillusionment right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. America.
What do? Your father dies of a heart attack and you put an engraving, "There goes my heart"? You can't do that. I mean, I'm trying to make a mockery of it. It happens. But illusionment, disillusionment. Let's take a call on disillusioned, okay? Almost out of time. I can't believe this. Donald Trump coming up at the bottom of the hour. Back to heavy politics. We'll ask him about the election and if he's going to run and who he thinks can win, whatever. Right now, WABC calls in New York City, line number 8. Go ahead, please, Ron.
Yes. My disillusionment is the fact that I thought I believed that the American people actually want freedom and liberty. It's become an utter and complete fact to me now that I've been disillusioned to that, that the American people are completely lazy, the majority of them. They don't understand what it takes to be free, to retain freedom, and what to do with liberty if they even had it, which is non-existent at this present time.
I understand, but you can't let me give you some advice. You can't carry around the burden of the American people in your heart because you're never going to change the American people. All you can do is change you. And so I'm trying to tell my audience to learn to live with disillusionment.
I understand that.
You know, and you can accuse me of anything that you want. I mean, simplistic morons are going to accuse me of this or that. I don't really care anymore. I am telling you that sometimes you have to live with disillusionment. And then the burden becomes less. Then you may be able to take a deep breath every once in a while, a free breath.
Yeah,
don't look to change the American people. We're all looking for a savior. We all want a savior to come along to unite the people and make us free again. And look what Obama did when he was given that much power. I don't want any man to free me. I'm not looking to anyone else to free me. Are you? Are you looking to Ted Cruz to free you or Ron Paul or any of the other guys? They're not going to free you. They're only politicians. They want to be president for the power. That's all. Maybe they're a little more patriotic. That's all. But for God's sakes, don't look to them to liberate you. You can liberate you. That's what I'm trying to say to my audience. Only you can liberate you. Nobody can liberate you. No one can give you the freedom you're looking for. Nobody can give it to you. All I can do is take it away from you. That's a little different. A government can take away freedom. It can't give it to you. Freedom is inherent in nature. We are free the minute we're born, are we? Are we really free? How free are we when we're born? You want to get philosophical about it? We're free? How free are we? We're tied to a mother who gave birth to us. Without her, we die within what? An hour? What? How free are you? Without her cleaning you or the doctor cleaning you? You choke to death on the afterbirth. What do you mean you're free? What are you free? You're innocent. You're like a lamb. You have no freedom. You're a total slave to the mother and the caretaker. And little by little, you ever watch a colt get born? You ever see the legs, the shaky legs, how it touches a person to watch that? You see the tentative nature of life. And if you don't revere life watching an animal being born, then you're not human. Then go join ISIS. You're one of the devils. You belong in hell with the rest of them, where they should all be sent, as far as I'm concerned. But nevertheless, there is a miracle of life, but it certainly doesn't set you free just because you're born. In fact, you could argue that being born turns you into a slave. And the Buddhists believe that. I want to get into the whole sequence, which I've read. And I understand all of this from every religious point of view. The Buddhists believe the day you're born is the worst day of your existence because you're enslaved on the wheel of life. And you're going to be enslaved on that wheel while you're on this earth. That's another way to look at it. It's certainly not the Christian view. Certainly not the Christian view or the Jewish view. It's the Buddhist view. I don't know how that works, truthfully. But we're all capable of flights of fancy, aren't we? We're all capable of euphoria on the natch without drugs. Sometimes you'll wake up and you'll get up early enough, see the sunrise. I told you I was in Florida. Remember 3 weeks ago at a house? And I got up at dawn, and I saw the dawn rise over the Atlantic Ocean. And because it was so much more vivid than here in the Pacific for me at the time, I literally got on my knees, and I prayed to God for the first time in many, I don't know, years, where I felt overwhelmed by nature. And I didn't say, "Oh, thank you, Gaia." I said, "Thank you, God." I saw God's handiwork, the creation, all over again. So I can be awed by the creation. I understand how miraculous it is that we're living all together. Think about this little sphere spinning around, this little sphere called Earth, one of zillions of bodies in the in the universe spinning around, and here we are on it, the little microbes called man,
also important. And we have to believe we're important in our busy days, getting in the car, starting the engine, adjusting our hair, adjusting the mirror, sipping that coffee, staying in the correct lane, not going too fast. I mean, that's what our reality is, right? But where are we going? Where are we rushing to, says Guru Mike. Guru Mike says, where are we rushing to? What is the illusion? Are you going to be saved by a Republican victory? Well, I don't know, maybe. When you consider that ISIS is in 49 states and we have a president who's enabling them, maybe he will save us. If he would root them out or root out those in the government who enable them, maybe. But let him say it already. What does he stand for? Did he say borders, language, and culture? I didn't hear it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is 34 minutes after the hour across America. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. With us now is Donald Trump. And Donald, as you well know, is very much in the mix. But we don't know if he's actually going to run. Donald Trump, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you, Michael. How are you?
Well, Donald, come on. Ted Cruz has announced that he's running for the presidency. And I'm asking Donald, are you prepared to announce yet?
We're getting very close to doing something, and I think people are going to be very surprised, and I think they're going to be very happy with what I'm going to do. I would say over the next couple of months, over the next few months maybe, but we are looking at it very strongly. I just got back from New Hampshire, which was very successful. I had the largest crowds and the largest everything, and it was great. I had a great time with the people of New Hampshire, and we're going to do something in the not-too-distant future in terms of announcement, Michael.
Donald, let me ask you this. Ted Cruz, I don't know the man. Truthfully, is he electable?
I think it's tough. It's going to be tough. First of all, it's going to be a very crowded field in terms of getting the nomination, but I don't think it's going to be easy for Ted. I like Ted. He's a guy I've met a number of times, and I really do like him. I like his father a lot, too. But it's not going to be an easy one for Ted. He's been a little bit on the controversial side, which I know something about also. But not going to be the easiest person, I would say.
But is it, let's say he gets past the liberals attacking him, which is going to happen to you too, as you well know. Anyone who runs, they're going to call an extremist after we've had the most extremist administration the world has ever seen in this country. Naturally, they're going to say the opposite is true about anyone who doesn't stand for their liberal agenda. But other than that, Donald, you know, there's something about showmanship, which you know a lot about. Between me and you, I don't think Ted Cruz has the showmanship.
Well, he's a good speaker, and he's a good debater, and he's a smart guy, but he's got some views that a lot of people don't necessarily, you know, care for. I would say this, it's not going to be easy for him, but it's not going to be easy for Hillary either, I suspect, right?
No, I don't think she's electable anymore. She's guava on the jungle floor. I mean, I'm sorry, her time has passed.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. I mean, they certainly think she's going to be the chosen one. And amazingly, the email thing hasn't had too much of an impact, it seems like. And
Well, on who? The 65 million who don't work? I mean, those who work for a living certainly think the email thing is a big deal.
Well, a lot of people think it's a big deal. It seems that the polls are not thinking it's a big deal, which is a little bit surprising to a lot of people, actually.
It could be the fun camps that she came up with. That must have wiped it away. Donald, let me ask you this. Of the entire field, if you don't run, would you back anyone who does run on the Republican side? I mean, is that a given?
Well, you know, look, I guess it's a given because I'm a Republican. I'm a very conservative guy, and I'm a Republican, and I would probably back somebody, but it depends on who it would be.
But, Donald, why aren't you sure if you're going to run? What has to happen?
Little time to figure it all out, and I'm in the process of doing it, and this is the time that I'm looking at it most seriously. You know, last time I thought Mitt would do a better job than he did. He ran and he didn't run successfully, obviously, and that was an election that should have been won by the Republicans, and something happened the last month of his campaign. He just stayed inside. He didn't do anything.
Well, he won. Donald, remember he won the first debate and everyone said it's over?
Right.
Obama looked like the bumbling fool.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it looked like Mitt took some kind of fall, like in a fight. He didn't fight him.
I don't know. Michael, I don't know. Was that advice? Was that bad advice? Did he choke? I don't know what happened. You know, in golf or in sports, they'll say, well, He couldn't sink the last putt. He choked. I don't know what happened. It went so bad. And in all fairness to Obama, he did horribly in the first debate, like horribly. He couldn't have done worse. He didn't do great in the second debate and the third, but for some reason Mitt wasn't there. Now, they say that that was a plan. He wanted to be very nice and very gentle and everything, but I don't know. I find that hard to believe. I just don't know what happened to him.
You mean he just that's interesting. You mean he just could have choked up? That's interesting. I never thought of that. Well, Donald, I certainly hope that you run, because I've said in my own book 2 books ago that we need a businessman to take over the country who's also a conservative. We cannot have a crazy college teacher who's never worked for a living, who doesn't know a profit and loss statement, who doesn't understand that you have to have income in order to redistribute it. Again, running, we can't have that. What if we had a businessman running the country? Would it be a better country, don't you think?
It would be better, depending on the person, of course, but it would be better and certainly better than what's happening now. And, you know, we have such problems. When you look at Israel, that's one thing with Obama, but he basically doesn't get along with anyone. He's not getting along with Putin. Putin hates him, can't stand him. And it's almost like, you know, you almost say to yourself, who likes him? Look at what's going on with Putin. First time I've ever seen this happen, where Putin is starting to throw out the nuclear stuff, okay? That's the big league. I've never seen that happen with a major power like a Russia. But he's all of a sudden throwing out nuclear alternatives. And I'll tell you what, and part of it is because he can't stand Obama. I think he's frustrated like everybody else. But Obama...
Well, I know someone who likes Obama, Al Sharpton.
Well, I know somebody else, the people of Iran.
you got me there. Pretty good return, Donald.
Well,
Donald, look, I do hope you run. I mean, you know, people say, he's not going to run. He's too big a business guy. He doesn't want to leave all that money behind. But there's a lot of other considerations. You've got a family to consider, and the security issues that you would impose upon them. Am I right, Donald?
You have a lot of it's a very hard thing. You know, I've always said, Michael, it's very hard for a very successful person to run for political office, especially for president. And you're giving up a lot, and you're doing a lot, and these politicians, they run. You know, they're all talk, they're no action, they run, that's all they do is run for office. They run, if they win, if they lose. With me, it's a lot, but I'm very, very strongly considering it, and if I did it, I would make America great again. This country can be better than ever before with proper leadership. But you know what? If we have another 4 years like we've been having, if you look at what's gone on, if we have another 4 years like that, it's going to be very, very tough for this country to come back. That I can tell you.
Well, you're a realist. This is the difference. Put aside everything else. Obama is living in an illusion of some fantasy world that never existed. You can call him anything you want. But again, if you have no grounding in a profit and loss statement, how can you run a nation?
Or perhaps he's not competent. I mean, maybe he just doesn't get it. And, you know, a lot of people say his evil intentions. I actually don't see the evil intention. I think he just doesn't get it. I don't think he's, you know, a very competent person. You look at what's gone on with Obamacare, it's a total catastrophe. By the way, a disaster like you won't believe, and it only kicks in, really kicks in 2016.
Yeah, it was designed to kick in when a Republican might win to make them look worse.
Obama gets out, and it's going to have to be terminated. It's going to have to.
Donald, if you were commander in chief right now, what would you do to stop ISIS?
I wouldn't tell people about it. That's the first thing I'd do. I wouldn't tell people what I do. And in fact, I got the answer a couple of times. Everyone loved it. They said, "What would you do?" I said, "You know what? If I ever won, I don't want to be on record as I would go in and do something that would be very, 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 very well appreciated by this country, that I can tell you. But I don't talk about it. You know, they talked about it with Pete. They talked about it. Look what's happening over there. We're going in 2 weeks. A couple of weeks ago, they're saying exactly what. We're going in 2 weeks. We're going to drop bombs. We're going in from the left. We're going in from the... They're saying everything. And I'm saying to myself, you know, General Douglas MacArthur would be spinning in his grave right now as they give their game plan. And by the way, now they're having a very hard time. You see what's going on. They
yes.
think this is going to be an easy little battle. But they said exactly when they're going in. So you know what I tell people? I wouldn't say what I'm doing, because if I win, I don't want people to know. I don't want the other side to know. And I don't want, you know, another thing, I don't want them to know when I'm leaving. When they said when they're leaving, the other
yes.
side just sits back, throws some bombs at us, and sits back and just waits for us to leave. I would not be doing that, believe me. And I think it's a terrible precedent. All I can say is we would win, and it would be decisive.
Donald, talking about the Battle of Tikrit, which should have been over by now and the good guys winning, why didn't Obama, as Commander-in-Chief, send in the U.S. Air Force to destroy them. I mean, they were sitting there ready to the counterattack. He could have taken most of them out. There's no explanation for this, Donald.
How about the fact that Iran is helping and Iran is doing it? And Iran is, by the way, taking over Iraq, which I always said was going to happen. Iran is now taking over Iraq, lock, stock, and oil. They're taking all of the oil. And, you know, the oil they don't have, by the way, ISIS has. Remember when I said a long time ago to you, look, we're in there, it's a mess, at least when you leave, keep the oil, right? You know who has the oil? ISIS and Iran. They have the oil from Iraq.
Donald, you were on 10 years ago, and I wrote a book then called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. And in that book, I said, I hope I'm wrong, but this plan of Bush's could backfire, and we could see the emergence of Persia all over again. And as you well know, the borders of Iraq were only created in 1948 or 49. There was no Iraq. It was part of ancient Persia. And what I see now is Iran reestablishing the borders of ancient Persia. I think that's what you were saying as well.
Essentially, that's what I'm saying. And they've taken over Iraq, and they're in the process of doing it right now. I mean, they're the ones telling them how to fight. This is what we're going to do. But we're the ones going out and saying how we're going to fight and when we're going to start dropping the bombs.
Yeah.
What direction they're coming. It's so insane. Look, we have leadership that is so incompetent. It's inconceivable that we could have ended up in a position like this. But as far as Iraq is concerned, Iran is taking over Iraq. That's what's happening. And you know what? Obama likes it that way. I think he likes it that way, actually.
Donald, here's the one thing, Donald. If you become president, I don't want to be your Secretary of State. But I do want to be in your kitchen cabinet under one condition, which is that I get to meet you in Mar-a-Lago and have that great salad with the seafood in it while we're discussing foreign policy. That's all I ask.
It's a great place. Mar-a-Lago, there's no place like it, and we have a lot of fun. And and you're a great guy, and I love your show, and I love your attitude, and you're right. And it's common sense. I mean, what is your attitude? Your attitude is common sense. That's what it is.
And Donald, so many borders, Donald, borders, language, culture, does that make me a bad guy?
I understand it. I understand it. It's a tough situation where we have incompetent leadership. They don't know what they're doing, and we're stuck with it, and we're going to be stuck with it for, I guess, at least almost another 2 years. Hard to believe, isn't it? Huh?
Hard to believe we can survive it. Donald Trump, thanks a million for being with us on the Savage Nation. Let us know if you run, will you please?
Well, indeed, Michael. You take care of yourself.
Thanks for the time. That brings us to 45 minutes after the hour. The phone number is 855-407-2822. When I return, actually, I'm not leaving. I want to say something right now that this is a good spot for it, since we're talking about finances and running a country like a business. You know, tomorrow is my 21st anniversary in radio, which is a milestone. And one of my keystone advertisers for well over 16 years is Swiss America. They sell the gold coins and the silver coins. And I've gotten to know Craig Smith. The guy loves me. Listen to what he sent me, a card. Michael Savage, what can be said other than congratulations for 21 years of the finest talk radio hosting the world has ever experienced? It truly has been an amazing journey you have taken us on and still guiding us forward. This group of coins represent proof issues of all the years you have been on the air, sharing your unique form of entertainment, education, and insights. I chose proof as they represent first issues and only the finest finishes. That is you, Michael, a one-of-a-kind form of perfection in the passion you pursue. I look forward to many more years, Craig Smith. And then I opened the package. It's a highly polished wooden box, and inserted is a coin in a case going back each year, 1994, Silver Eagles, all the way up to 2015. He sent me 21 coins in a box, and you could take a look at the picture on michaelsavage.com. I had to put it up because it's the nicest gift I've ever gotten in my life. I used to be a coin collector as a kid. Craig doesn't know that. I still have little blue books with dimes and pennies and quarters and dollars. But this is so beautiful, and I thought, you know, I should tell my audience about it. You know why? Because in addition to being a good investment, I think it's an incredible gift. You know, Swiss America could put together a box for you and coin proof coins like silver coins. Let's say you got someone who's 10 years old or 20 or 21 or 59, right? Imagine getting a box like this. Now, that's a gift that everyone would love. Thank you, Swiss America. Thanks, Craig Smith. And thank you, the Savage Nation, for listening. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
If you're like me, then you understand what idealism is and what it can do to you. You're constantly living in illusion and disillusionment, but okay, that's the name of the game. And I got to tell you, the fact is, starting today's show, I was in a quandary. I had a disillusionment in my mind and my heart about just about everything. It's like, oh, big deal. Here we go again. Another day talking about how bad Obama is. Another day about this. And I didn't want to do it. I mean, it was enough already. And all they're running, oh, Ted Cruz this, Ted Cruz is going to save the world. You know, I wish him luck, but truthfully, I look at the guy. He's not getting elected. I'll tell you right off the bat. You're going to get mad at me? Go ahead, get mad at me. And I'll tell you why. He's got weasely eyes. He's not a weasel. He's not a bad guy. His eyes look shifty. I'm telling you point blank. He's not going to resonate with a lot of people. And that's the end of the story. You don't want to believe me? Don't believe me. And I don't walk around with too many illusions anymore. Maybe when I was a kid, I had illusions. I don't have a lot of illusions right now. I don't have any thought that anyone's going to save me and save the country. I wish I could believe that. But here's the point about radio. You know, with all the preparation, the guys are working since 6 in the morning and me, all the sound and the topics. And if I go with my heart and talk about disillusionment, the show has sailed by. Here's 2 hours are gone. Bingo. Gone. And it's a rule in radio that I got to tell everyone who listens who is in the media. I'm going to tell you right now. William Burroughs, the naturalist, wrote it in the 19th century. If you bait your hook with your heart, the fish will always bite. That's it. That's the story. That's the nature of art. That's the nature of performance. If you get up there and fake it, no one's going to listen to you. They're going to, yeah, who needs to listen to him? But if you get up there with what you're really feeling and what you're really sensing and you apply it maybe to the issues of the day or in a broader manner to the news, I'm telling you, it makes for compelling radio, and that's why you're still listening. And then in the midst of it all, we had Donald Trump, which I knew we had planned for today. I didn't want to make it the key element. It did work in very nicely because in the midst of all of my disillusionment, he was quite, I think he was forthright. I don't know that he didn't say anything new, did he? But he said things in a way that were comforting, that at least someone else out there knows what's going on. Anyway, I appreciate you listening to me for the last 2 hours. And I hope I didn't disillusion you with my talk about disillusionment. The thing to remember is the word illusion comes from illude, which means deceive. So when you're disillusioned, you're actually seeing the truth. And as you well know, the truth shall set you free. And you also know that God sees the truth, but waits. I'm Michael Savage. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Here is Michael Savage.
So here we are in hour three already. We were talking in the first 2 hours about disillusionment, what it means. We had Donald Trump on. I asked you what's the most disillusioning thing to have ever happened to you. I don't want to go into Ted Cruz. I mean, they're all running around like, big deal, man. That's supposed to change my life tonight. I'm supposed to change my dinner plans and switch my vodka brand because Ted Cruz is running. How can they get so excited over this? The guy's a politician. Why is he suddenly the great white hope? It's like, oh, he's going to save the world. I like what he says. Good. It's a year and a half or whatever. I can't think about it. And you're not really thinking about it, by the way. Most people don't care until near the election. That's all. 855-407-282. Let's have an open mic to mic thing, whatever I call it, unprotected talk. Michael Savage celebrates 21 years in radio. Don't miss tomorrow's special edition of the Savage Nation. If you want a hint of what's going to be on the show, it's not earth-shattering. I'm not going to, you know, have... JFK's not coming on. We couldn't get Nixon on. We tried from the crypt. But apparently he's in Al Capone's crypt along with Geraldo Rivera, and we couldn't get him on the show. If you want a hint, go to michaelsavage.com. There's a picture of me on a Navy destroyer as a guest last fall. And you'll see what's up there. Let's see what else is on my website. And the little coins, they're great, the silver coins that Swiss America gave me as a gift. I love that gift. I'm going to give it to my granddaughter. She's too young to even. It's like 21 coins, silver. And like if I give it to her now, she wouldn't know what it is. But if I could put it away for her and give it to her,
This came from your grandfather, Michael Savage. He used to have a radio show. Mommy, what's radio? Well, that's a little thing in the house that with a dial and a knob, and we don't have those anymore. There's a chip now put in our heads, and the government plays it for us whenever they want. Ah, and now everyone listen to the great Supreme Leader Jerry Brown on global warming in the middle of a snowstorm in Iowa in April. And anyone who disagrees with the great Jerry Brown is an infidel and an apostate. Anyway, that's there's some really very good stories on my show, and I don't want to read them to you. You can read them. I mean, on my website. You know, I look back, and the story from the last hour that sticks in my mind that I'll probably remember for years is the religious Jewish man who lost 7 kids in a fire because he left a hot plate on for the Sabbath, because the religious Jews don't believe you're allowed to. I guess you can't turn switches on and you can't light fire on the Sabbath. And they carry it to such an extreme. It's so meshuggah, from my point of view, that's a Jewish word for stupid, crazy. You can't light a fire, you can't turn an elevator, you can't touch a button. What is this? We're living in another universe here. So he leaves a hot plate on, and the hot plate sizzles and sets the table on fire. The apartment catches fire. The poor mother's on fire. She jumps out of the window from a tenement, and the 7 children fry in the apartment. I'm not ridiculing the guy. I'm saying to you, you want to talk about illusion and disillusionment? The illusion of religion is that if you follow all the laws, Allah, God, you know, the great Shemuk Abu Yahudna in heaven will protect you and make you rich. You'll never lose a tooth. You'll never gain weight. You'll never get a gray hair. You'll never get heartburn, cancer, halitosis. You'll never get a loss of sight or hearing loss because God's going to protect you. It doesn't work that way. It's nice to have faith. Don't get me wrong. But at a certain point, you have to, like, combine faith with reality. That's even better. Now, that's the question that all of us face, you know, kind of modern people. Because otherwise, you may as well join ISIS. Look at their faith. It's 100% complete. They believe in the single sufficiency of one book on earth. Every other book should be burned except the Quran. That's really great. That's the viewpoint that the psychos run around with. That's a great worldview. And anyone who doesn't follow their religion is like Jerry Brown and the global warmists. They're infidels. They have to be converted or worse yet. So there we are. That's the world we live in. And most of us are in the middle of this. Most of us are in the middle of this. Santa Cruz. You say Cruz. I see the word Cruz. I want to go to Santa Cruz and walk on the beach. I don't want to vote for him yet. I mean, okay, great. The election's not here. Could he actually beat Hillary in an argument? I think he'd freeze up. He's smarter than her. He's a better man, but I don't know. She could scare you with those eyes. She's got a pair of, what do they call them, Manson lamps on her. Wow. Yeah, I saw that in the movie once. Someone who got that bug-eyed stare, the Manson lamps there. Hillary has Manson lamps, incidentally. She gives you that stare. It's supposed to scare you to death, and it does. It's otherworldly. I definitely believe in extraterrestrial life when I see her. Whew, serpentine. Those eyes, man, those Manson lamps. You ever see her on TV? She, like, stares people down, like, don't even look at me. I remember when I was a local host. You know who did try to do that to me? Who came on? That was an idiot. The guy who peed on his leg, who said he got chills running up and down his leg when Obama spoke. That disgraced idiot with the green hair, yellow hair. I forget. He's on MSNBC. I don't know how he's still living with the amount of alcohol he must have poured down his gullet. He was on a book tour in the early 90s. He came on my show. And before the show, like, was sitting in the studio, he was like a nice guy conversing with me. And the minute the mic went hot, he started attacking me. Blah, 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 screaming at me. He's still on MSNBC, another phony. Unbelievable to me how I survived 21 years in the world of deceit that I live in. I guess I have to say it's God's will. See, there goes my cynicism right out the window. So let me take some calls on your disillusionment. I'd love to know what makes you miserable and unhappy and disillusioned. Let's start in Texas, Dallas, WBAP. Carl, what's your greatest disillusionment?
Yeah, good afternoon, listening on BAP. My big disillusionment kind of goes like this. I'd say most of my life, I'm almost 60, let me start with that. Most of my life, you know, I've always had one anchor that would always be there whenever I needed. That would be my parents. And, you know, I could always call them whenever I had something to say, a question to ask, or just to see how they're doing. And then as you get older and older, suddenly you get the phone call, the first one, Dad's gone. And then, you know, a few years, you kind of get used to that as time goes on. Then you get the second call, your mom's basically gone too.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, everything comes home. You go, my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't call them anymore. And, you know, you have your habit of calling them from time to time. And
hey, let me tell you, I can relate to that. Several times a week, I try to call my mother. I reach for the phone. I'm going to call my mother in Florida. She's been dead 15 years.
Yeah, you see, that's exactly what my next statement was going to be. You're reading my mind. I called one day, just out of habit, and I got the little automatic recording message. I'm sorry, this phone number is disconnected or out of order. And the first time I heard that on the phone that always had them on the other end, it really freaked me out. And basically, you know, the sad state of how everything was suddenly came crashing home, and I realized, my gosh, my whole world has changed, and there's nothing that can be done about it.
So, but you also realize, don't you, Carl, that you're next, in essence. And I don't mean to be rude or crude or, you know, trying to... I mean, we also realize in the progression of life, we're the next dead phone call.
That's true, and that's why I pretty much had a lot of humor as far as when I go. I live alone right now, and I tell the neighbors, just keep an eye on my windows. If it looks like I have a large collection of small bugs, call somebody, because...
Stop it. Oh, my God. The way of all flesh. Huh? So, Carl, the loss of your parents is your loss of an illusion. Is that really disillusionment or sadness?
I guess I always assumed they'd be there emotionally, even though logically I knew it would never really happen forever. But, you know, you're hooked on the emotion that they'll always be there. And then when they're gone, you have to really come to a sudden reckoning that, you know, you were wrong, even though you kind of knew. You still thought the day would never come, even though you knew.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Your illusion is that they would never die.
Yes.
And you didn't want to face the reality that we all go by the way of that. You know, that way. And then when that hit you in the face, it's like, oh my God, I mean, how do I live with this?
That's exactly right. And it seems like so many things happen at once. You know, you don't have a girlfriend that lives with you anymore, and you had to give up your pet monkey because of the ordinances in the city you live in, and then your parents go one after another, and suddenly I'm completely alone. You know, I have no pet, no family in town, and everything's changed, and it's a kind of a lonely feeling when you're almost 60.
What happened to the pet, to the monkey?
We talked about him once before. His name was Miga. I had him for about 10 years, and most wonderful pet on earth, if you ask me. I really loved him, and we got along together great. But the ordinances finally caught up with me. But the city was very, very nice to me and gave me all the time I needed to find a place for him. So,
Where'd you give him?
It's a place called the Austin Zoo. It's a place for unwanted or animals.
You know, my family gives money to a place called Chimp Haven. Chimp Haven.
Heard of that? It's the same kind of place in a way, except this place, you can pay an admission and see it. A lot of people go there, and they.
Is your monkey still living there?
Yes, he is. And
Do you visit him?
I have not done that yet because.
I wouldn't go if I were you. It'd be heartbreaking. I don't think you could take it.
Because I remember him crying when I left him, and
don't get me started. They're like human beings, and he never went atavistic on you. Never went nuts, biting or anything.
No, he was actually an amazingly wonderful creature. He had his fangs and everything.
Ooh.
I mean,
so where was he at night? Did he sleep in a cage or in bed?
No, he had his own cage, and he also had a very large outdoor cage with a big tunnel system of wire tunnels that would connect him between the two. And, of course, when I got up, I took him out, and we did things all day.
But did he have a girlfriend, or he was alone in a cage?
It was just me. But during the day, he was out of the cage. And we
But did he ever go ape wanting a girl?
Not yet.
No, it's a funny question because my dog Teddy is an un what they call it. I don't know what they do. They call it unfixed. It's just ridiculous. Fixed. They mutilate an animal. Call it fixed. He's an intact dog with all the male stuff, and he's 10.5 years old. He's never said to me, you know, get me a girl. Never.
Well,
he doesn't even look at them any differently. He looks at a hamburger with more interest than a female dog.
Well, you know, dogs have that traditional way of giving you a clue when they hook onto your leg, you know, at the most inopportune times.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I had a dog like that when I was a kid. It was a maniac, Tippy. There was a fat guy who came around a bookie with a leg on him like the size of a ham hock. He'd jump on George's leg and hold on to it. The women would hit him with a broomstick and throw seltzer at him. He wouldn't let go of George's leg as he was giving him the business. My dog, though, has never done that. He's not as crazy. I don't get it. Why is one dog crazy like that and another one isn't? So you're saying your monkey didn't have that impulse?
No, he didn't. But I do remember the dogs that have done that. They always have that silly look on their face while they're doing it.
Stop. So, hey, look, Carl, look, let me ask you. So this show sort of is part of your life, right?
Been for a very, very long time.
Well, I hope we can remain sort of radio family. And you know I go all over the map with ideas because 15 hours a week of live talk radio, it cannot be one harmonium of one thing, right?
That's correct.
I want to thank you for listening to the Savage Nation, Carl, and coming up with that beautiful topic of disillusionment and going from something as tragic as the death of your parents to something as, I don't know, as beautiful as your years with your pet monkey. You know, it was actually a beautiful thing. It wasn't the cynical thing. That's 19 minutes after the hour now, folks. The time is a-flying. It opens up a line at 855-400-7282 or 855-400-SAVAGE. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, I'm still talking about disillusionment. We're talking about politics, and God knows where this will go. And I told you last night I went to a dance hall I rarely ever go, and I went to a place that had Cajun music. And I hear it. So my friend Doc is a musician. He said, you want to go? Yeah, we bought tickets and went. And I really love the music when I've heard it in movies. It has a certain folksy something to it. I didn't know what it was. But I was reading about the lyrics in Cajun music, and it says the unaccompanied ballad was the earliest form of Cajun music. The narrative songs often had passionate themes of death, solitude, or ill-fated love, a reaction to their harsh exile and rough frontier experience, as well as celebrations of love and humorous tales. I said, holy God, that sounds like the Savage Nation. In many ways, this show of mine, if you were to categorize it from a music point of view, is somewhat like like ballads, the ballads of such music, and the early days of Cajun music, which is why it connects so much with such a broad spectrum of people from different traditions. And you got to understand the early songs were mixtures of different folk influences from black, white, and Native American traditions. And although early song lyrics were sung in Cajun French, it broadened itself out and it changed. What I'm saying is, you know, I don't really know where my show fits. It's different, I know that. But listen, the narrative songs often had passionate themes of death. Check that one. Solitude. Check that one. Ill-fated love. Check that one. A reaction to the harsh exile, check that one. And rough life experience, check that one. As well as celebrations of love, check that one. And humorous tales, check that one. That's what I'm doing here for you. I'm basically speaking ballads. Remember I told you there was a young man who was a saxophone player, and he was taking the words out of my shows and reducing them to their lyric elements, and he was putting them together as song poems? I lost touch with him, and he understood that. If you take away the outside structure of my show, I'm basically speaking ballads to you about life in America in our time over the last 21 years. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, it's very political, but it's really about our lives together over these years, whether you've been listening for 21 minutes or 21 years. What I've been doing is speaking ballads about my life and in so doing, having you reflect on your life, right? And then you call back and we talk and that becomes a song in a way. There's no instruments here. The only instrument is me. And then we got the bumper music. Is any of this of any interest to you or what? Well, you want me to stick to Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat. Ted Cruz, Great White Hope. Yes, let's give it to them libs. I can't. I don't have the heart for it. I'm not ready for it. I'm not ready. I just can't do it. Leave it to others. They love that stuff, not me. I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. Be here if you know it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yep, that's where the world's going. That's where the whole nation's been going a long time now. I don't know who started the road, but that's what we're on. So the question is, since we're on that road, what do we do about it? That's what it really comes down to. And everyone copes with this disappointment with not only the political world, but with the world in general. We take a look at what's going on in the world. They elect a peacenik who promises the end of war, promises God knows what. And now we have the Nazi movement back, this time speaking Arabic, wearing headscarves, more virulent than Hitler, much more virulent than Hitler, in their fanaticism and their belief in a single book. The only thing that they lack is an air force and a navy. If they had an air force and navy, they would have taken over the world by now because of their willingness to die for their insane cause. Their illusion that it'd be a perfect world if all the Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus were dead, or they were walking in the dust and kissing their behinds. They have the illusion that then there'd be peace on earth. And yet they kill each other right now. Sunni kills Shia, Shia kills Sunni. The whole religion is what the problem is. And if you think I'm the only one saying it, you're wrong. An article came out from the bravest woman on the planet. I couldn't believe this woman. She's a young Muslim woman who wrote an incredible article. Her name is Ayan Hirsi. And she said, in Islam, they are all rotten apples. She's a converted, she left Islam, and she calls for religion to be reformed, just as the way there was a Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. And she said, unless Islam is rejected, the world is going to go you know where. And she discusses it. It's amazing. And she said, there's no such thing as a moderate Muslim. She was a Muslim. She said, there is no such thing as a moderate Muslim, is what she said. She said, not me. And she said that they have to have a reformation. Robert, just play her for a minute. She's the bravest woman on the planet.
Islam unreformed today is not a religion of peace. It's groups like ISIS, the Taliban, etc. But there's a huge group of Muslims, I think they're the largest number, who I call them Mecca Muslims, who are peace-loving and practice only the peaceful parts of their religion. And then there are those who want to reform the religion, the reformists or the heretics. And it's extremely important today for the Medina Muslims to lose. We want the dissidents to convince the Mecca Muslims, that large contingent of people, to reform their religion from within.
The bravest woman on earth, activist Ayan Hirsi, and she said there was a time, it was in the New York Post today, and I'm talking about disillusionment, and we lead to her. And she says there was a time when author and activist Ayan Hirsi Ali believed it all. That according to Islam, the infidel should die, that the Quran is infallible, that those who violated Sharia law deserve to be stoned to death or beheaded, as they were each Friday in a public gathering place she and her brother called Chop Chop Square. Today she is that rare thing, a public intellectual who, despite death threats and charges of bigotry, calls for an end to Islam, not just as the faithful know it, but as we in the West think we know it. Here's what she says. The assumption is that in Islam there are a few rotten apples, not the entire basket. She said, no, I'm saying it's the entire basket. And she wrote a book called Heretic. And she wants a complete reformation of Islam, akin to the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. You can read it yourself. She's phenomenally brave. And so I'm talking today about disillusionment in our own lives, with ourselves, with others, with political figures. And here's a woman disillusioned with Islam. Right? A whole religion. She's, the shroud has come off the myth, the illusion that the world would be a perfect place if everyone simply bowed down to Mecca six times a day and read from a single holy book. She says it has to be, you know, revamped, revised. And so that's why I want to talk about illusion and disillusion. And I was looking up the word disillusion because many people are disillusioned not only with him, and I mean liberals who thought he was going to make a difference. Little did they know he turned into be such a creep, such an anti-American, anti-freedom. I mean, it's unbelievable. You think liberals like it? Real liberals don't.
The only people who like what he's doing are the neo-fascists disguised as liberals. Liberals don't like him because they know he's not a liberal. But let's put that aside for a minute. Let's not deal with the rhetoric of liberalism. By the way, I was going to talk with you about liberalism and how it made sense at a time in America. For example, after World War II, when we conquered the world, after defeating Superman, when every man defeated Superman, the country was going through this great prosperity. Everyone had a job, who wanted one, etc. Liberalism was something we could afford. And so the Marshall Plan was initiated where we helped everybody, and foreign aid was suddenly thrown around the world for Pax Americana. And liberalism grew. It flourished because people felt good about America and we were rich. And we felt benevolent. But we're not that anymore. Liberalism doesn't make sense for the time we're living in right now. And I don't have to list why. I mean, most of you can follow me without me having to spell out why. But bring us back to today, Michael, which is the disillusionment, for example, of the announcement of Ted Cruz. And again, I'll vote for Ted Cruz or any Republican over any Democrat. I don't want the road to hell that the Democrats have taken us on. I'd like a detour, if you don't mind. I'm not ready to go over the cliff with them. But you know that you're going to be disillusioned in Ted Cruz. He's going to have to compromise once he becomes president, as they all do. And then you're going to start to become disillusioned and disenchanted. And it brings me to the whole issue of what does disillusion mean? Well, there's a lot of meanings to it. And I read one meaning of the word disillusion means open the eyes of, which is amazing. It means that when you're in an illusion about a politician or a lover, you're living in a dream world. That's what the illusion is. You're living in your own dream. And then slowly but surely, whether it's in marriage or relationships, friendships even, your eyes become open and you see the person for who they are. And then that's when the relationship actually begins. But most of us don't get to that point. We live in the illusion. It blows up. And we never get past the illusion. A real relationship begins after the illusion disappears. That's the hard part. But if you look at the origin of the word illusion, which I did in my great Skeet, I love Skeet, Etymological Dictionary of the English Language, Skeet. It's not to make you think I'm so smart. You can buy the book yourself. I've had it in my library for many a year, 1983, first impression, 1882. I carry it around like a little Bible. And it's the origin of words, the Etymological Dictionary of Words. English is a very complex language. Don't assume it's so easy. So you cannot find the word disillusion in it. You can first find the word illusion, which comes from the Latin illusionum, which means elude, I-L-L-U-D-E. So you have to go, it says, see, elude above. So you go to elude above. We're not talking about pornography. Elude means to deceive. Elude, to deceive. So illusion comes from deceiving. So listen to this. So disillusionment means you're no longer deceived. It's phenomenal. If you actually study words, it's one of the most interesting things to do. It's like studying a mystery. Words are mysterious, aren't they? Think about that. Illusion, see elude above. Elude means to deceive. So disillusion means you're not deceived anymore. To no longer be deceived, right? It's interesting. It's very fascinating. So then I find a quote from a writer named Naomi Wolf, where she writes, quote, the gap is closed. The lover embraces only his own disillusion. I said, oh, wow. So that brings us back to all of us, political or otherwise. We're all living in a state of illusion. We in America are all disillusioned with the political process. We see that there is no democracy or a semblance of it. We see that our republic has failed. We see that the republican form of government that was created by the founding fathers has failed us. Well, we failed it, but it's no more. We see that the idiot in the White House has abused the very office of the presidency, as has the first lady. They abuse it on a daily basis. They get away with it on a daily basis. Say, no, the system failed us. We ask, how could a goofball like him get away with this? How could he abuse the taxpayer like this? How could she fly around the world like this and nobody stops them? The system has failed us. So we realize that the illusion that we lived in a society where there's checks and balances has failed us. That's what I mean by disillusionment. And so many of us try to hang on to an illusion. I hang on to an illusion. My theme is America's borders, language, and culture. That's my illusion. My illusion is that if we close the borders, secured the borders, made English only the language of the land, and reaffirmed our cultural values, we'd have a safer, better America. I know that I'm right. I'm positive that I'm right, but it's still an illusion. It's an illusion for one reason, not because I'm wrong in my supposition that it would make for a better, safer America. It's in my supposition that this could ever happen again. Given the flooding of America with illegal aliens, given the white men who have destroyed America with multiculturalism in order to rule over a dumb votership for the rest of the century, a dumb, ignoramus votership for the rest of the century. That is how demonic the Democrats are, that they think by bringing in tens of millions of idiots who can't even read or write in their own native language, they can only speak it at best in an illiterate manner, that somehow it's going to be a better world. No, that's not what they did it for. They did it for the votes and also to be able to control and manipulate the population and rob more money so they can build a train to nowhere in California and build 10 trains to nowhere and rob the public treasury and call themselves liberals. Or they can build 1,000 Solyndra plants and steal $500 million a day. And the idiots who come in here from countries where they don't even speak, read or write Spanish won't even know what they're doing as long as they throw them a bone. So my illusion is to clean up the mess. You get it? I have many illusions. I'd like to see all class action lawyers thrown into prison and all of the money that they've stolen taken back from them and their children's money taken from them. To me, they're no different than the biggest thieves ever to have walked the planet. Every time I look at the television, there's an ad for mesothelioma. Who are the gangsters in this business? How much can they rob from corporations? Where do you think this money comes from? Where do these gangster lawyers, how do they ply their evil trade? How? Because they own the politicians. One politician came along and merely tried to stop some of the tort actions in this country. His name was George Bush. They ruined him. They ran him out of office. And what did we get next? Well, we got a lawyer, the most corrupt president in American history. American Trial Lawyers Association stamped them 100% pure. And now you understand why they're running wild in the streets, robbing and stealing like you've never seen in your life. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. Okay, it's time for the Hollywood Idiot of the Day. Sean Penn wins the prize again. He is the biggest hypocrite in the history of hypocrisy. Every day this liar gets up there and talks about liberal things, anti-gun, anti-violence, anti-this, anti-that, and his new movie, Gunman, every ad shows him killing somebody or butchering someone with an axe. I never saw anything like this. He and Harvey Weinstein belong in the same world together. Anti-Second Amendment, anti-gun, those NRA, we're going to get them. And every movie is about violence and guns and killing people. I couldn't believe what I'm watching. Does this guy not have an eye that sees what he looks like to the real world as opposed to the sycophants who make a living off him? I don't know. I read a review. I didn't intend to go anyway. I never go to a Sean Penn movie. His brother was a much better actor. May he rest in peace. Here's another movie I saw that I would like to see. It's called It Follows. And the review says, David Robert Mitchell's Cannes Festival favorite is about a teen who, following a strange sexual encounter, has disturbing visions and the inescapable feeling that someone or something is after her. I wouldn't waste 90 minutes on it. It's an interesting idea, but who's going to go to that but Harvey Weinstein and company? Here's my newsletter of the day, which you can get for free by going to michaelsavage.com. Headline, maybe Obama is the perfect crazy president for our crazy times. That was last week. I was hitting high notes. In today's issue, the president somehow found time to record a conciliatory message to the people of Iran, but was too busy to send his congratulations to Israel's Netanyahu after he was reelected. Not much about Obama surprises Dr. Savage anymore, but that doesn't prevent him from being dismayed and disgusted. Quote, maybe America really wants a crazy president, mused Savage. Maybe Obama is the perfect man for the crazy times we live in. Obama was never, ever made to be the leader of the free world. Were it not for a distorted political system that was bought and sold by special interests, the most this man ever could have been was a college provost. He's not even qualified to be a college president because that would require attending meetings and listening to others. Now we hear that the Pope is going to dine with some gay and transgender prison inmates. We have a crazy Pope and a crazy president for our crazy times, and I'll leave it at that. One man's opinion. I realize it's, you know, not right to say those things. After all, they're gods. They're as close to God as you can get on earth, aren't they? Or aren't they? Now that Ted Cruz has announced, are you prepared to announce your candidacy as well, Donald Trump? That's what I asked him.
And, of course, he didn't answer. And when I hear the word cruise, I think of Santa Cruz and the boardwalk, but I haven't been there in 20 years. I don't intend to start going there now. And we've been talking about disillusionment. Time for one more call on that subject. John, WBOB in Jacksonville, Florida. What's your biggest disillusionment?
Hi, Michael. I'm glad to be on your show. I listen to you a lot, and I agree with almost everything you say, and it's almost I'm reading your mind and you're reading
mine. Well, John, what's your biggest disillusionment? We have only 58 seconds.
Okay, I'm a third-generation physician, and I honored my father, my grandfather, watched them work, put 45 years in, and then when Obama gets in office, he said only doctors want to make money by cutting off legs. It was the most disgusting, low-class remark I've ever heard from anybody who's supposed to.
It's horrible. I didn't hear that one. Let's add that to the constellation of insults towards productive people. I don't know how a doctor can take what this man has done to the medical profession. He has demeaned it. He's debased it. And when he gets through with it, it'll be very much like the Soviet medical system was in the 1950s, where you get very low intelligence individuals going into medicine. Because that's what's going to happen. He is dumbing down the entire medical profession. Am I right?
You're exactly right.
I hope you still... I know what's happened. It used to be the number one profession for intelligent people. Look what he's turned it into.
Savage.